listener production. A pinch and a punch for the first of the month.
How old are you, like 10?
It's Matt and Alex all day breakfast.
Well, the mystery of why Venice's Grand Canal turned green has finally been solved. Did you see this?
I did. I thought they were just doing that thing they do in Chicago for St. Paddy's Day where they just pour in the green food colouring.
It wasn't that, although that is definitely a thing that they do in Chicago. Have you been to Venice?
I have. I spent an afternoon in Venice.
That's it?
And got ripped off at a restaurant because they bring out things that you don't order. Like, it's like, oh, here's the bread for you. And you're like, oh, these must get a free bread. You have a nibble. They go, ha ha, that will be €6, please.
Yeah, but it's all offset by the fact that like an Aperol spritz is about €2. So I reckon they're the cheapest around the world. Anyways, love me some, oh, it's not called pinchos, but whatever the Italian version of that, some little snacky roux on some bread. Love it, love it, love it. Their canals are bright green for a little bit. It wasn't a St. Paddy's Day thing. It was a test, a non-toxic substance they used to test wastewater networks. So, I mean, it's very boring. And we wish that it could have been some sort of Ninja Turtles activation, you know, thing that some PR company was doing. Or people thought it might have been an environmental protest.
Right.
But alas, no.
I'm surprised. Are the Ninja Turtles famous in Italy? Because aren't they named after the Italian masters like Michelangelo and Donatello and that?
Actually, in Italy, the Ninja Turtles are named after famous Australian artists.
Oh, it's in reverse.
Yeah, it is.
Introducing, with the nunchucks, Ken Doan.
Yeah. Oh, you rip it, mate. Let's party. Yeah, and Splinter is actually a wombat. It's really confusing. Anyway,
topsy-turvy world we live in. But look, we're here to make sense of it with you on Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast. Well, you know, speaking of attack animals, we're going to be talking about that in a moment. Big news coming out of the Northern Hemisphere. We've also got a bit of Mind Blown, a bit of Ask Alex. Should we get into it, mate?
Let's do it. Dive right in, whether it's green, blue or purple. It's Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast. Hope you're having a good one.
This is just the start.
Everyone ready?
Let's get this show on the road.
Let's go.
Here we go, here we go, here we go.
Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
Well, Matthew, being a good Warrnambool boy, I know whales. I
mean, do you?
In a couple of months' time, the Southern Rights will be using the little harbour at Warrnambool, Logan's Beach, as the little natural nursery. Go down there with binoculars. A windy, rainy day. Watch them out in the water. It's beautiful.
Bro, you're not the only one who visits the seaside these days, okay? You're talking to a semi-Port Macquarie local here. I've been copping a few big boys swimming up and down the shores, splashing their flippers and other whale parts, bits,
splashing their whale bits,
whatever.
Yeah, that's it. So it's always good when whale news comes out, but I tell you what, we've always, after the sort of 1800s, where harpoons were a little bit too prevalent, we seem to be on a better term with whales around here, but it seems like they might be coming back to bite us, mate.
Yeah, that's right. And we're not talking about crypto whales, are we? Because that's the only whales that I know about right now. No, apparently, killer whales, Alex Dyson, have apparently been teaching each other how to sink boats.
Now, this is, you know, as a big fan of Free Willy and the documentary Blackfish, it is interesting how in the wild there's not been a single instance of like an orca, sometimes referred to as a killer whale, actually killing someone. It's only ever been in captivity. They believe there's a specific orca named White Gladys who has been influencing a few other whales to ram boats and sink them. Because earlier this month off the coast of Spain, a vessel was sunk after the rudder was pierced by three orcas, and the ship's captain, Werner Schaufelberger, said two small orcas seem to be learning from the larger orca during the incident.
Oh, my God.
It's the last thing we need.
Well, you can imagine James Cameron on this one, can't you?
Absolutely.
The sequel to Titanic 2. You know, the ship goes down thanks to some killer orcas.
Yeah, it looks a bit.
You got Leonardo on the door.
On the dorker. Apparently, White Gladys, this orca, may have experienced a critical moment of agony, such as a collision with a boat. Because they're such smart creatures.
Wait, are you telling me that people think that because Gladys got hit by a boat,
yeah,
now she is taking it out on other boats?
She's got a taste for boat blood. And so has been taken aback. Spots one and goes, all right, we're sinking that. So they've been doing that, which is pretty crazy. Meanwhile, not did you see this other whale story?
There's more whale news.
A beluga spy whale suspected to be trained by the Russian Navy has appeared off Sweden's coast.
So the Navy, are they believing that the whale is picking up some sort of messaging, or the whale is going to see something and then report back, or is it wearing like sort of electronics or what?
Well, it's not to be confused with the Canberra Sky Whale. It's the whale with like the droopy boobies, the hot air balloon. This spy whale was first spotted by a fisherman in Norway's far northern region of Finnmark with a man-made harness strapped around its body. And the suspicious harness was finally removed by marine biologists and had a mount suited for an action camera with the words "Equipment St. Petersburg" printed on the plastic clasps.
No spies write "Equipment St. Petersburg" on their spy equipment.
Are you saying this could be what happened at Warrnambool College on muck-up day, where someone came and wrote like "Brower College forever" in weed killer on our grass, but it was the Emmanuel College kids trying to false flag the Brower College
exactly.
kids?
Yeah, I don't think any of James Bond's gadgets have "If found, please return to Mr. Bond" on them. Like, you try not to have any ID on anything.
Well, some officials have said the whale may have been trained by the Russian Navy, as it appeared to be accustomed to humans. And this is probably the most damning of all, Russian authorities did not confirm or deny the speculation.
Wow.
According to the BBC, an investigation by Norway's domestic intelligence agency found the whale is likely to have been a part of a Russian research program.
So this just adds a long list of things I can't trust.
Whales. Yeah, they could be spying on us.
Can't trust people who wear socks with thongs. Can't trust people who sit in parked cars. Okay, that's sus as. And now I can't even, when I'm looking out over the ocean, I see a whale, I think, spy.
Immediate spy.
Stinks.
Well, we're not sure. And so in an effort to clear up exactly what is going on with this Russian spy whale story, we reached out to the Russian government and we're very happy to say that actually Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast have secured an interview with the Russian spy beluga whale. And the spy whale joins us.
No, we haven't.
Right now.
No.
Hello, Russian spy whale.
Yes, hello.
Thank you very much for...
I am the spy... Wait. Let me figure out where I am from. There we go.
It sounds like you're from Transylvania at the moment.
I have gone a lot of places with my whale. That's how you be a spy, a good spy. You cannot be found out from your accent. You have to come up with different accents.
That's it. You've got quite a global accent. When did you first start spying for the Russian government?
It started when I was young, you know. We played a game, I Spy, with my little blowhole.
Didn't realize it was capable of vision, the blowhole there.
I tell you what, it's capable of seeing things and speaking things, because a lot of stuff come out of my blowhole, especially when I'm being interviewed in what will probably turn into something that will age very badly. I cannot express enough how problematic this interview could be for me.
Well, that's it, spy whale. You have been found out. A spying...
Beluga whale? More like be cancelled whale. That's what I would probably be after this interview.
I'm sure the Russians the Russians have got other things to worry about other than a podcast host's accent.
No, I'm pretty sure this is not appropriate.
Well, speaking of which, you know, with your work with the KGB, obviously, have you had a chance to meet Vladimir Putin over the years?
No. We honestly... Oh, wait, I think there's been a mistake. You see, when I was... when someone asked me if I was a Russian whale, I said, yes, I am. What I meant was I'm in a rush.
Right.
I'm rushing to get away from any kind of
controversy.
Enemies. Yeah, controversies, that's right.
Well, so it sounds like you're an Australian whale who...
Yes, an Australian whale who's in a rush. I need to get out of this place quickly.
So what was this thing strapped around your head? Is this just all a big misunderstanding?
Stagwood
what was that? What was that
holder.
Thing?
Stagwood dog holder. It's here's the problem. You go to the show. You can't have your Dagwood dog and eat it too as you swim back along the Pacific. So I thought I'd put something on there, and that's what I did.
Excellent. Okay. Now that
the sauce washes off in the ocean, no one's invented unwashable sauce.
Well, now that this is cleared up and it's shown that you aren't a Russian spy, what is your actual profession?
Tap dance coach.
How can you tap underwater? What makes that sound?
Oh, you don't think taps and water go together? Well, good luck in the bathroom, buddy. Okay? Oh, my God. This is the sort of disrespect we always get.
Can I ask, if you are driving your whale car and there's a fair bit of traffic and the people in front of you are driving really bad, do you hit the horn? And when you do that, does the horn go, beluga, beluga?
Yeah. Yes, it does, actually. I thought it was broken, but that's how it comes in my whale car, yeah. Beluga.
Well, thank you for joining us. Russian whale vampire joining us there from the northern seas.
Oh, my God.
This is, very soon to be was, a podcast called All Day Breakfast. And now it's time for...
Can you hear me, Alex?
Alex, can I ask you a question?
It's called... Ask Alex.
That's right. Sex, dating, relationships, all of it can be asked and solved in this segment, Ask Alex. You know, most people don't have a clue what they're talking about. But one time I wrote advice in Girlfriend Magazine for young people asking about boys. I was the guidance counsellor. And so today we're going to be helping with some guidance. And this is pretty open guidance, I reckon, here today, Matt, from listener Joan, who did have a question for both of us. Is it normal for people to invite you to an event/meetup without disclosing who else they've invited? So you think you're going to have a great time catching up with one of your friends who you haven't seen in ages, so excited to have some one-on-one time, only to discover on arrival, or if you're lucky, an update text on the morning of, that there's others joining you. What the actual hell?
Ooh.
What do you reckon?
I've got to tell you, me and Belinda have had arguments about this in the past.
Seriously?
Yeah, what's seriously. Well, because I am generally someone who's a little bit of the more the merrier camp.
Mm.
Okay? I'm like, yeah, why not?
Bring them along.
Sure. Whatever. Belinda's in the more of like, we agreed to catch up with that person.
Mm-hmm.
Or they agreed to catch up with us. That is all that's going to be there.
Right.
And there's positives for both.
Yep. You remember a time where you've invited people and it hasn't been kosher?
Well, I mean, sometimes you do mismatch the friends occasionally. You kind of think, oh, these two people will get along, and then they have absolutely nothing to talk about. So that if you go to the bathroom, you just feel sorry for them. They have to like, you're like, I'm so sorry that they have to generate some sort of conversation between these two people.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think it is not normal. You should be disclosing what's going on, full clarity about what's happening. Say, yeah, I'm getting together with a few friends. You don't have to name names, but if it's going to be more than one person, for sure. And definitely do the opposite as well, because I've had a friend who copped the opposite, where they thought they were hanging out with a group of people, but it turned out to be different. We got a text and it was like, hey, was thinking of heading to the movies if you wanted to join. And my friend was like, yeah, cool, it'd be great. Movies sound fun. It's great when you go in a group to a movies and get there and it was a one-on-one date.
Like
her and the dude.
Okay, what about this though?
Mm-hmm.
I tend to also be someone who will just invite other people to other people's parties.
Oh. Yeah, like, I'm just here. Just come on down.
I love doing that. Yeah.
Happened to me on the weekend. I caught up with a good friend of the show, Sam Mack, and was like, yeah, just going to be at this pub. I'm like, oh, cool. I came down, met him, he was there chatting to some people. Like, oh, I'm introducing her here. It's her birthday today. We're having drinks. I'm like, oh, happy birthday.
That's exactly it. Like, I love that. I'm like, yeah, great. Invite more people. The more the merrier. Let's
Everyone
go.
Everyone should celebrate.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know, but Belinda's like...
It was a bit awkward, though, because I got there and, like, his daughter Margot was there, and I was like, I didn't think that she was going to be there.
Oh, really? Don't tell me you brought the one-year-old. Oh, my God, that's so embarrassing.
That was cute. I'd never met her before. I got to have a hold. She was great. She tolerated me, which was wonderful, because sometimes you get to hold a baby and they... Like
they cry the second you put your hands on them. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's like a genie in a lamp.
Yeah.
It's
so gone. No, I'm very much a big. But Belinda will be like, you can't just invite someone else to this party. People have strict invitations.
Yeah.
So, but did you feel out of place going to that party?
No.
And did the person seem like, oh, what are you doing here? Or were they like, hey, great?
Yeah, it was fun.
Exactly. The more the merrier. But when I said that, Bron just went, when I said that I would happily invite other people to other people's parties. What did you think about that?
That's crazy to me. Other people's parties.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like a house party.
If you were having a house party, you're like, hey, Matt, come along to my house party. I was like, yeah, sure. Then my other friend was like, hey, Matt, what are you doing tonight? Do you want to catch up? I'd be like, bro, I'm going to a party. Come along.
No way.
I would absolutely do that.
I would not want a stranger in my house. You have to think about catering.
We're not 17 anymore. They're not going to steal your parents' jewelry or something. They're just going to be in your house hanging, chatting. I mean, if it's a dinner party, sure. You don't want to have to, like, set another seat at the table on the corner of the table with the, you know, plastic cups and plates. But...
Well, that's interesting. This is just a totally different topic. Sorry, Joan, that we've got off this. But if people are around, would you say something like, oh, stay for dinner? And if you get asked that, would you go, yes? Or would you worry that they're just saying that out of politeness?
What?
And that there's not enough food.
If you go to a party and they're like, no, come and stay for dinner.
Mm.
No, I'd stay. I'd be like, yeah, great. What are we having? I'd be like, do I need to get anything? Can I order something in? Like, I will contribute by all means. I'm not just going to sit there. I don't think anyway. But yeah, so I hope that helps answer your question, Joan. I mean, look, there are two different people.
Listen, Joan, I do agree with you. You want to know who's there, what their vital statistics are. And that's why I think, like in most businesses these days, you've got an attendees list, okay? And you should have a full schedule for every meeting. And like in primary school, you tick off the names of the roles every single time. And that's the only way that we can be sure that we're all hanging out with the right people.
Well, that's what I miss about Facebook, like, events, where you could just see who was going, who wasn't going. Like, I really miss those
three
days.
People attending and 98 people saying maybe.
Yeah.
That's right. I really miss that too. But anyway, look, we hope your catch-ups are fruitful, Joan, no matter whether we're there with strangers or with the person you so wish to catch up with. And we hope you listening have enjoyed this catch up. Unbeknownst to you, you're catching up with many, many people at the same time.
Everyone's invited.
Exactly. Everyone's invited to Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
I smell toast.
Mind blown.
Yes, that's right. This is the segment where I, Matt O'Kine, attempt to blow your and Alex Dyson's mind with a fact that I've learned over the course of the week.
What you been looking at, mate? What's been happening?
Well, there's a bit of news that came out about a few, and this is, you know, a little bit alarming sort of news, that a few attempts were made to take the Queen's life by various people over the years.
They've recently said that there was Queen assassination attempts.
Yes, that's right. And of course, it's... Not entirely, well, when you understand the context of civil unrest happening throughout Ireland, Northern Ireland in the, you know, 70s, 80s, etc. These kind of things were spurring maybe that sort of sentiment. But it was just released recently in some documents that there were a couple of very serious attempts that had happened that have kind of been brushed over the years. But what really, including a trip to the US, by the way. So that the FBI actually released these documents. There was an alleged plot to kill the Queen during the 1983 visit.
What did the American want to kill the Queen for?
This particular person had been alleged to be a sympathizer with the Irish Republican Army. I'm reading this directly from 9news.com.au, so I need to say this.
Right. The Corgi Militia or something like that.
Yes. Well, he had claimed that he had family members who had been killed in Northern Ireland by a rubber bullet. So he'd made these threats. But look, obviously it didn't happen because the Queen lived far longer than that and only dying last year. Mm. But one thing that stood out as I was reading this story is that a gentleman called Michael Fagan,
right,
popped into the story. Which, basically, what happened with Michael Fagan is he was a just public person, general, you know, general public, who managed to sneak in to the Queen's apartment? And sit on the end of her bed in Buckingham Palace and have a chat with her before what? Alarms were raised and he was gotten the hell out of there.
So wait. Imagining if you're the Queen, you wake up in your bed in Buckingham Palace, as you've done many, many times.
Yeah, at 7 a.m., yes.
And there's just a dude perched on the end of your bed like a tabby cat.
And there is some young geezer standing there. Yeah, that's right.
He was
about 40 years old at the time, 38, right? Oh, so God. My age. And he's just sitting there like, g'day. And the first report said that he sat on the edge of the bed and they had a chat for about 10 minutes, okay? But other interviews have said that the Queen left pretty quickly to seek some security, did a little bit of, oh, I'll be back, and raised the alarm bell. So this is what happens. Okay, he tries to get in one time, right?
Right.
Where he shimmied a drain pipe, entered the palace through an unlocked window, then wandered around for half an hour while eating cheese and crackers.
He just found some Buckingham Palace cheese and crackers and started.
He drank half a bottle of white wine, became tired, and left. Okay?
So couldn't find anyone in the big corridors of this palace. He goes, oh, I better call it. Heading off.
Second entry, 7 a.m., 9th of July, 1982, scales the 14-foot-high perimeter wall, right, which was topped with spikes and barbed wire, climbs up the drain pipe again. Alarms are going off.
The same trusty drain pipe as last time.
But police think that it's faulty, right? That the alarms are going off. Wanders the corridor for several minutes before reaching the royal apartments, right? Breaks a glass ashtray, cuts his hand, then enters the bedroom of Queen Elizabeth II.
Bleeding.
Yeah, with a piece of glass. Queen wakes up, is like, I'm just going to go look outside for something. Call security. They all come back. All hell breaks loose. They remove Fagan. Here is actually the mind-blowing thing.
So these are not mind-blowing bits yet. Okay, what's the actual bit that's going to blow our mind?
Okay, so it's a law situation. Fagan's actions at the time were considered a civil wrong and not a criminal offence. Therefore, he was not charged with trespassing into the Queen's room. The only thing he was charged with was the theft of the wine. Isn't that wild?
That he drank a bit of wine that wasn't
his. He drank
his.
A bit of wine, so they're like, well, he stole our wine. That's what he's going to get in trouble for. But all of the
Why
other
is that?
Stuff.
Is that because Buckingham Palace is technically public property or something?
Yeah, so then in 2007, Buckingham Palace became a designated site for the purposes of a section of law, Section 128,
right,
in which trespass became a criminal offence.
Wow.
Isn't that wild, though, that someone could sneak in to the Queen's bedroom and it's not even illegal?
Yeah, if only he hadn't drunk the wine. So they didn't get him for the cheese and crackers either?
No, the cheese and crackers were on the house, mate.
Well, that is pretty incredible, and we like you blowing our minds every week as well. So if you've come across a fact recently, send a voice message to us of you letting us know. This week's mind-blowing fact comes from Carly, and it's regarding turtles.
I was scrolling Instagram and I found out that turtles aren't in their shells. Turtles are their shells. Mind blown.
What? Turtles are their shells?
Yeah, like the turtle is like attached to the shell. The shell is like a part of their body.
Yeah, like if you look at a skeleton of it, the shell is actually their vertebrae. Is that it? And they're like, their neck goes down and hides inside their vertebrae?
Yes, basically. I believe that that is it.
Mind blown.
That doesn't really blow my mind.
You think that it should be a...
Mild.
Grown.
I mean, that's just me. Maybe my years of watching the Ninja Turtles is what has, like...
But the Ninja Turtles are in their shell. They're not connected to their shell.
I don't know.
Dude's in a shell suit.
Hero's in a half shell, to be specific. I don't know. That doesn't blow my mind. That's all. Okay, hey, look, we're all playing on an even playing field. Sometimes I get the mild grown as well. That's just how it goes.
Well, Carly, I enjoyed it very, very much. Any of these biological facts are pretty mind-blowing to me, so thank you very much for getting them in, and we'll be back with another Mind Blown next week and another episode of All Day Breakfast tomorrow.
Don't forget to keep in touch with us at matt.n.alex on Instagram. We'd love to hear from you. And until then, we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
That's it. The All Day Breakfast kitchen is closed. Got something to add to the show? Slide into our DMs at matt.n.alex.
Спасибо for listening. That's Russian for thank you.
Oh, my God. Can't believe people haven't turned off by now.